This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
All right. Woo! Come on, is anybody excited about Jesus? Somebody woke up happy this morning. I'm glad you're here. You can be seated. Stay with me just for a second. When I pray, then you guys can go. Wow, let me just say, first of all, it is an honor to be here with our Salinas Celebration family and to be with Pastor Terry and Karen and their family, some of the greatest people on planet Earth. And this is absolutely a privilege to be here, an honor to be here, and I'm glad I'm here. And I love the song that they're singing because that's what I believe is going to take place. You know, the Bible says that God confirms His word with signs following. We serve a God of miracles. I don't know about you, but I need God to do something in my life. Am I the only one, or does anybody else say, hey, I need some God intervention. I need some God help. Let me say this before I dive in to what I really want to talk about. Just to kind of give some reference point and some things that's been going on in our ministry in the Fresno area at the beginning of summer. As we launched into the summer, sometimes as churches, you kind of like, oh, I don't like summer months because, you know, everybody gets lost and goes on vacation, and sometimes you're there preaching by yourself. And so it's like, it's great when September comes back around, you know, everybody's getting back into the routine of things, people come back to the church. And as we launched into 2018, the summer months, I felt like God was dealing with me to tell our people that this summer that we needed to really expand the borders of our hearts concerning God, and that God was telling me to tell the people that there is more. Tell them go on their vacations, do what they do in the summer months, but don't let off the fact that there is more. And then he said, more importantly, what you need to tell them is not just there is more, but they need to believe for more and that they need to expect more. I don't know about you, but I could use some more of God. I could use some more help. Come on, I could use some more wisdom. I could use some more strength. Come on, how many of you could use some more? Now listen, I love for people to get involved with me. I'm one of those preachers that if I'm preaching, I love you to preach with me. Even if you don't like me, just do something. Let me know you're alive. Flip me up, do whatever it takes. Let me know you're alive. I really believe that Jesus declared that in Ephesians, the Word of God declares that in Ephesians, when Paul said it like this, and I believe they have this verse, Ephesians 3:20, with God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. I like that. The New Century Version says much, much more. What's interesting is the Bible says that God does the much, much more beyond what we are asking or imagining. So my question is what if you're not asking? What if you're not imagining? What if you're just spending the summer months not dreaming about the more of God? Well, for God to do the much, much more, then He's got to have a people that want the much, much more. And in the message today, that's really what I'm here all about, is to just stir you up that there is more. There's more healing. Come on, there's more blessing. There's more help. There's more victories. More purpose, more favor, more peace. Come on, God's got more. But you got to be dreaming about it. You got to be thinking about it. Come on, you got to be desiring. You got to want it. Does anybody want more? Who knows? I was up praying early this morning, and I was thinking about how God had to take Abraham out of his tent because God wanted to do more in his life. You see, Abraham had been believing God and believing God and believing God, and it seemed like the promise was postponed and delayed, and he's finally getting wore down, like some of us here this morning. We're finally getting wore down. It looks like it's never going to happen. God, you're never going to come through. And God says, I need you to come outside your tent. I need you to come outside this place of containment. I need you to get outside where you can start seeing stars. Because Abraham, if you'll start dreaming with me, come on, some of you need to get outside your tent. And he says, every star that you begin to count, he says, it's going to become, if you'll believe me for it, it will become your descendant. And Abraham got outside his place of containment, got outside the place of a tent where he could see the stars and begin to start dreaming again. Maybe that's my assignment here at Salinas. I'm here to get you outside of your tent so you can start dreaming again, so you can start counting the stars and start dreaming about what God wants to do in your life. How many of you would receive that and take that? I'm just here to tell you, we serve the God of more. And so this summer, at Celebration, and being that you're a Celebration church, come on, that's what 2018, this summer, is all about. Because I'm here to tell you, get ready. We're getting ready to step into something eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Come on, the things that God has prepared, I wish I could get somebody to believe that with me. Come on, we're just warming up. I'm here to tell you, we're just warming up for one of the greatest victories that God has ever released, one of the greatest revivals that God has ever released on the earth. And all he needs is somebody in Salinas that'll start dreaming, that'll come outside their tent and say, God, I'm asking for it. God, I'm imagining it. I'm dreaming about it, God. And God says, if you'll ask for it, if you'll dream about it and imagine me for it, he says, I'll even do much more, much more, much more. Somebody shout, much more. So this is our summer, the much more God. There is absolutely more. That's my first message. How many are you ready for the next one? In John chapter 5, I want to read this text because this is specifically what I believe God is wanting to say to Celebration of Salinas. In John chapter 5, I want to read several verses, a familiar passage of Scripture. It says in verse 1, after this, Jesus went to Jerusalem for a religious festival. And near the sheep gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool with five porches. In Hebrew, it is called Bethesda. A large crowd of sick people were lying in the porches, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and they waited for the water to move. Sometimes an angel of the Lord came down to the pool and stirred up the water. And after the angel did this, catch this, the first person to go into the pool was healed from any sickness he had. And a man was there who had been ill for 38 years. And Jesus saw him, catch this, Jesus saw him lying there. And he knew that the man had been ill for such a long time. So he asked him, do you want to get well? The sick man answered, sir, I have no one here to put me in the pool. When the water is stirred up, while I'm trying to get in, someone else gets there first. And Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your bed, and walk. Get up, pick up your bed, and walk. Get up, pick up your bed. Come on, I'm talking about more. Get up. Pick up your bed and walk. And immediately, come on, how many of you are ready for an immediately? How many of you are ready for a suddenly? And immediately the man got well. He picked up his bed and started walking. Wow! We ought to just celebrate the word today. The title of my message this morning is this. You don't have to live there anymore. You don't have to live there anymore. I really thought about titling the message this because this is what I believe I've really was sent here to do is to declare this, and this would be my secondary title. The wait is over. The wait is over. I've come to talk to people that feel like they're stuck today. Perhaps you feel like you're stuck physically, in physical pain. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you're stuck in emotional pain or relational pain or perhaps even financial pain. But I'm here to talk to people who feel like they're stuck. Maybe you're stuck in past failures. Maybe your issue is just some past regrets, or maybe you're struggling with the past abuse or the trauma or the injustice that was done to you. Some of us might be here today that are stuck in addictions and stuck in deception and stuck in worry and fear. But I'm here today to tell you, to declare to someone, I don't know who it is, I believe someone here today is going to get this, that you don't have to be stuck anymore. Come on, that's a word from heaven. You don't have to be stuck. I don't care what the issue is. Whatever you can name, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to be stuck anymore. In the name of Jesus, I declare, be healed, be delivered, be set free, and be made whole. I release this word into this region. I release this word into this ministry. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, do what only you can do. God, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear and eyes to see, a heart to comprehend. God, help us to hear the word that is released in this house. It's the word that we'll know that's going to make us free. God, I thank you that you are a God of miracles and you are working miracles here at Celebration of Salinas, expanding our territory, expanding our vision, God, of what you want to do. God, take us outside our tent today and let us dream again. Let us believe again. God, let us think big again. God, let the walls of containment come tumbling down today. The limitations be broken, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, be God of this church. Be God of our lives, we pray. And amen, and amen, and amen. I was, thank you guys, I was recently running, as I typically tried to do. I know by looking at me, I don't look like a runner, but my wife is thankful that I'm a runner because I like to eat ice cream every night. And so I'm on my typical run and been doing that for years. I run down by this river, and so we were, I have a dog that runs with me, and so we're on our run. We get done, and right where I run, there's a nice apartment complex. And so we always park there and go down into the river, and we get done. And as I was getting done, I'm able to use their wash station to clean my dog. In fact, we just got done living at these apartments for 8 months because our house was being renovated and remodeled, and so it took 8 months. And so we'd actually been living at these apartments, but we'd been out of the apartment and back home, and thank God for that. But I was recently running there again, and we're using the wash station, and I get done washing and cleaning my dog, and immediately the dog jumps down and takes off, and she's unleashed, and so you know that's a problem, especially with people. And so I'm chasing my dog, and I'm chasing my dog, and my dog is running back to the apartment that we don't even live at anymore. And I'm just kind of in this tunnel vision, and I'm screaming and I'm yelling because the dog is unleashed, and I'm saying, hey, you don't live here anymore. I think the people at the apartments thought I was nuts, going crazy. And finally I catch up to the dog, and she's close to the front door, and I said, hey, what's wrong with you? You don't live here anymore. And so I leashed up the dog and drugged the dog home. And as I was heading home, I felt like God was saying to me, this is what I've been trying to tell you. Hey, you don't live here anymore. In other words, you don't have to. You don't have to live here anymore, because 2,000 years ago, my son came to earth and died upon a cross to redeem humanity so that they could be removed from one place of living to another place of living. Sickness and disease and poverty and lack is not your home anymore. Somebody needs to hear that. Depression and discouragement and fear and worry It's not your home anymore. I'm here to shout it out loud. You don't live here anymore. Weakness and struggles and addictions is not your home anymore. You don't have to live there anymore. Now, this is exactly what happened here in John chapter 5. Jesus is announcing this truth to an individual that is at a pool called Bethesda. Jesus comes announcing, hey, you don't have to live here anymore. And I want to work through this story that we just read. And as I talk about this story and talk about them, what I really want you to do is think about you. Can you do that? As I'm talking about them, I really need you to think about you. Now, the Bible says that the Pool of Bethesda, this was a gathering place or a designated area where sick people would come together. The paralyzed, the crippled, the blind, the afflicted, the hurting, they would all gather on these porches that would surround this pool of water. And the Bible says that there was a multitude. You got to catch that. There's hundreds of people that are just scattered throughout these porches that surround this pool. They're all there for different reasons, but they do all have this in common. They all have an issue of illness. In those days, there's no medical hospitals that you could just take your loved ones and get help. So this became the holding place for people who weren't quite dead, but they weren't really alive either. These people were really, stuck. They were kind of stuck in life. They weren't well enough to be a part of the activity of the city, but they're not dead enough to be carried off and buried in the cemetery. So for these that are at the pool here, every day that they lived, to some degree, was kind of like a celebration that they hadn't died yet. They're just making the best of a bad situation. They weren't thinking about the much, much more. They're just surviving. They're just holding on. I'm sure if you was to ask them, they would probably tell you something like this. I'm sure they would say something like, I'm not really happy. This is probably the most difficult part of my life, the biggest difficult moment of my life. I'm not really enjoying life. I'm not living life to the fullest. To be honest with you, what I had to do is really bring my expectation down to meet my reality and just really enjoy the fact that they didn't carry me off to the morgue today. And I want to just pause right there and say, isn't that what we do so much of the time in life? Yeah, we do. It's not a good marriage. It's not a great marriage. But at least I'm married. Really? Really? That's how you're going to spend the rest of your life? It's not really a good job or a great job, but at least I have a job. Really? Jesus died on a cross so you could just survive your job. We say it all the time. Well, at least I got a roof over my head. Yeah, but it leaks. Hello? See, we have an attitude. I'm just going to put up. I'm just going to survive. I don't have much, but at least it's something. And so, like these guys, they're just surviving. So we just kind of learn to survive with good enough. And I don't know about you, but for weeks now, months now, I'm really mad and angry at good enough. I've let good enough be good enough long enough. Come on, I wish I could get some help in here today. I mean, if God's got more, we ought to reach for it. We ought to dream about it. We ought to believe God. We ought to fight for it. We ought to pray for it. We ought to ask for it. We ought to come outside our tents and see what God could do. Jesus says that I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly to the full till it overflows. Notice Jesus did not come to say, I've come that you might survive your job. You might survive your marriage. You might survive your life in Salinas. No. Survival is not enough. I'm done surviving. I'm ready to succeed. Is anybody with me? Come on, shout, I'm ready to succeed. in every area of my life. I'm ready to succeed in my health, in my finances, in my relationship. Come on, I'm ready. Shout, I'm ready to succeed. Now, what's interesting about this story is the Bible says that this pool was by the sheep gate. In other words, it was by, catch this, the sheep market. It was where people would bring their herds of sheep to be sold. I used to think that this had to be a place way off, abandoned by itself, secluded, isolating the sick, hurting people, but that's not so. It's by the sheep market. So the sheep market is where all the industry took place. It's the business of the city. It's where the life of the city was happening. People are working there. Children are playing. Productivity is happening. And that's where this pool of Bethesda, where all these hundreds and hundreds of sick people are laid out. And so for these at the pool, the torture isn't just about their sickness, but it's about the fact that close by, life is going on. You see, it wouldn't be so bad if everybody was sick with you, right? But what makes this even worse is that life is still going on without them. Come on, am I talking to anybody? You see why these people are picking their sores and bandaging their wounds in a state of survival. All they have to do is look over there and see life. And productivity and industry and people that are playing and people that are happy. That's the torture they were going through. And the Bible says that this place had five different porches. According to tradition, these porches would represent the different types of illness. Let me explain. That means that on one porch you might have the crippled people. On another porch you might have the blind people. On one porch, you might have the paralyzed people. So that means all the blind people would get together because they understood each other. Now, they couldn't change their blindness, but at least they could comfort one another as they survived their blindness. This happens in our world all the time, especially in churches, right? You could take a church like this that has hundreds of people and have two negative people, and by the end of the hour, they can find each other. They can find their porch, right? It happens all the time. It doesn't take long for gossipers to find the gossipers. It doesn't take long for the complainers. Hello, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Come on. Doesn't take long for the offended to find the offended. And it doesn't certainly take long for the non-tithers to find the non-tithers. And that truth brings me to this important Bible truth today. The Bible teaches us that you become what you hang out with. Come on, we're working on something. See, you can't surround yourself with blindness and expect to see. Wow. You can't hang out with offended, angry people and expect to be happy and fulfilled. You can't hang out with a bunch of defeated folks going nowhere kind of vision people and expect to be an overcomer in life. You can't hang out with prejudiced people and not expect to be prejudiced. Come on, you can't run around with arrogant people and not expect to be arrogant yourself. You know what the Bible says. Birds of a feather flock together, right? That's not true. That Bible says that. The Bible don't say that. But it's good anyhow. The Bible teaches that principle. We see that in the Bible. But that is a truth. What you hang around is what you become. So I have a question for us today. Who are you hanging out with? What's the name of your porch? Have you embraced a survival mentality for what has not been working in your life? Well, I'm struggling, and I just figured out God's not going to do anything, so I'll just continue to struggle. So I'll just find people who are struggling, and we'll just comfort one another in our struggle. But here's my point. If you just hang out with people who have a survival mentality, it's going to steal a faith mentality that says your situation can change. There's hope. There's more. I'm here to tell you, you got to get around somebody that can dream, somebody that can tell you, come on, God has more for you. God can heal you. God can deliver you. God can set you free. God's got a better job for you. Come on, God wants to heal your marriage. He wants to restore your finance. You got to get around some dreamers. You got to get around some visionaries. You got to get around some people that can take you up another level. Shout yes. Hallelujah. So here is Jesus. He comes out to this pool. And he's looking to change somebody's situation. And the Bible says that Jesus sees a man there and he sees his condition and he knows that this man has been in this condition a long time. And this is what is absolutely amazing in the story. Here is Jesus, sees this man in this condition, and here is Jesus, the answer, and he comes asking a question. Did you catch that? Jesus, he's the answer. He is the answer, right? The God in flesh that knows everything about everything, he comes asking a question, and Jesus asks this man, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole? Now, for a long time, year after year, I looked at that. I would study this. And I thought, Lord, that's just a ridiculous question. I mean, what in the world, Lord, are you asking somebody who's been sick, who's had an issue for 38 years, if they want to be made well? Lord, that's kind of offensive. That's kind of a silly, silly question. But remember, Jesus, the answer comes asking a question. The one that knows everything about everything comes asking, he's asking a question for a purpose. And then I begin to study the text a little closer and I begin to realize maybe, just maybe, this isn't a silly question, because notice what verse 5 says. When Jesus saw him lying there. When Jesus saw him lying there. Now if you've got the guts to receive this morning, you've got the faith to receive this morning, this part of the message could actually really change your life. When Jesus saw him lying there, I get it. Jesus asked this question because he saw him lying there. I understand now, Lord. You asked this question because you saw his behavior. You see, Jesus is saying, I see nothing in your actions that lets me know that you want to get up. So see, he's the answer. He knows everything about everything. Why is he asking a question? See, Jesus is saying, I'm a little confused here. I'm not sure that you want it. I'm not sure that you want the more in 2018. I haven't heard you asking about it. I haven't seen you dreaming about it, because I'm only doing more than what you can ask or what you can. So I'm a little confused. How could you be sick this long and be that comfortable in your bed? In fact, what is your bed doing in this mess? Wow. Jesus is saying, I'm confused, because I don't want to disturb you if you like where you're at. If survival's your game, then I'm going to keep on moving. If all you want is survival, then you don't need me. If all you're going to do is stay in your bed, hear it today. If all you want me to do is come and decorate your porch, then you really don't need me. And see, I think a lot of us, we don't want to give up our issue. We just want God to make us comfortable as we lay on our porch. I'm here to tell you, we need to get angry. We need to get angry at what the enemy has done to the church. And so we'll say, God, a piece of carpet would be nice here. God, if I had a little air conditioning on my porch. But the problem is, you're still on your porch. And Jesus didn't come to decorate your porch. He came to get you off your porch. He came to heal you. He came to deliver you. He came to set you free. He came to prosper you. He came to increase you. He came to give you more and more and more and more. And God is ready for a people that want to get up off their porch. Shout yes! Do you really want to get well? I know this is offensive. Do you really want to get well? Or have you developed an addiction to your affliction? Isn't that cute? Only preachers can come up with stuff like that. Have you developed an addiction to your affliction? You see, the point is this. Jesus is suggesting, hear it. Jesus is suggesting to this man, listen, Jesus' goal is to heal this guy, but he's also suggesting to this man that he should be able to look at a situation and be able to tell whether or not you want to be made well. And that's what Jesus is looking at. And he's looking at you. And he's looking at this church. And he's asking, do you really want more of me? Because Jesus can look at our condition, according to this verse, and be able to determine whether or not we really do want it. And I like this man's response. Because he says, he gives two reasons. Because I like it because I believe it's helpful. Because I think we give the same reasons. This man gives responses to Jesus' question. And he tells Jesus why he's really stuck in life. We're talking about being stuck. And he says the first thing he says, here's the first thing he uses of why he's stuck in life. He says, number one, he says, I'm like this because of what I don't have. I'm like this because of what I don't have. That's the reason why we stay stuck. It's because we have determined, I'm like this because of what I don't have. Notice what it says in verse 7. I have no one here to put me in the pool. You see, Jesus, I'm like this because of what I didn't get. It wasn't that I didn't have opportunities, Lord. It's just I didn't have any support. I didn't have any help. I'm like this because nobody helped me into the pool. Oh, we have these reasons too, don't we? We're just like this guy at this pool. We'll say, Lord, I'm like this because of the way I was raised. I'm like this because I didn't have a father. I'm like this because I didn't have a mother. I'm like this because of my skin color. If I had the right skin color, then I could be unstuck. I'm like this because of what my first husband did to me. I'm like this because of what she did to me. I'm like this because of my mother-in-law. It's the only legitimate excuse in the Bible. I'm like this because I was bottle-fed instead of breastfed. I mean, we could go on, right? But here's the powerful point concerning all the excuses we have why we got to stay the same. Anytime you justify your condition, you give it license to stay. Come on, you need to hear that today. Anytime you justify your position, you're giving it license to stay. You can't be healed if you always have an excuse why you can't be healed. Can I tell you today, you don't have a special situation. He is Almighty God, and he can heal you. He can deliver you. He can set you free. You ain't got too big of a problem that my God cannot fix. Come on, this is our summer of more. I'm not staying here. I'm not staying here anymore. Come on, we haven't seen our best days yet. Come on, we're ready to see the exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask. Come on, I need some dreamers in this. Here's the second reason for his condition of why he's stuck. First of all, he said, I'm like this because of what I don't have. The second thing he says, I'm like this because I tried and it didn't work. Worship team, you can make your way back as we begin to wrap this up. I'm like this because I tried it and it didn't work. We're just like that, huh? I tried that. I went to church 3 weeks in a row and it didn't work. Really? Good for you. How about just making a lifestyle of it? How about just making a commitment to it? Well, I tried the tithing. I did it. I really did. I did it for 2 weeks and nothing happened. How about just making up your mind that is for me and my house until the day I die, I will be a tither. I'll be a giver. I'll be obedient to do whatever God's word says to do. Now, I'm off path here, so let me get back here. He says this. He says, I'm like this because I tried it. And it didn't work. We see it here in verse 7. While I'm trying to get in, while I'm trying, somebody else gets there first. Jesus, I really tried. I tried a few times. I gave it my best shot, my best effort. And I was about there, and then the knucklehead slipped right in front of me and took my place. Lord, you know I tried. Lord, you know I gave it my best shot. And somebody else God in front of me. You know, as I read this text, you have to apologize if you don't agree with it. I just kind of hear Jesus shouting out loud, "They got it because they wanted it." When this guy is saying, I tried it, Lord, I tried, I really did, but they just beat me to it, Lord. You know I gave, and I just believe Jesus shouted out loud, "They got it because they wanted it." God is looking for somebody who wants it. How bad do you want it? Do you want it bad enough to go get it? Do you want it bad enough to move people out of your way to say, "Excuse me, if you don't want this, then I've got to get this. If you don't want to worship him, I'm going to worship. If you don't want to pray, I'm going to pray. If you don't want to show up, I'm still going to. I want this soul." Come on, I'm helping. Come on, God's helping today. There's a word for this house today. Remember, Jesus said to those who hunger and thirst shall be filled. The people who want it are the people who get it. The people who want it are the people who get it. That's all you have to give God. God needs your cooperation. He just wants your want to. How big is your want to? Come on, church, how big is your... Those that hunger and thirst. But God, I tried. They got it because they wanted it. You see, here's the thing. This is the reason why I know. Because legend has it said that concerning this pool, so you got to understand, first of all, that most scholars believe this was just superstition. That this pool was really just a hot springs and that it would just boil up, and there was a superstition that if you got into it at the time of the stirring that you got healed, but it's obvious that people were getting healed. It's amazing what can happen when you believe in something, but most scholars believe this is just something that was superstitious. But here's the point, is legend has it that the angel would come down once a year to stir the water, and the first person in the water would get healed. So that tells me that you have 364 days to get yourself to the pool. So if you really want it, you've got 364 days to crawl your way there. Come on, to roll your way there. To itch your way there. How bad, you don't wait for the angel to show up. You got to start on day one. And we know this man can move. We know he wasn't paralyzed completely because he said, "Every time I try to get there, somebody jumps in front of me." Well, sir, what you needed to do is back up and start on day one. And I don't care if you got to crawl there. I don't care if you got to inch your way there. I don't care if you got to roll your way there. Day one. Come on, day one. Come on, I'm going to get there. I want the day two. I'm getting closer. I might not be there yet, but I'm on my way. I'm hungering and I'm thirsting for what God has for me. And all he had to do is just inch his way up. Just crawl his way up. Till he got to what? 364 days. And get right on the edge. And as soon as that angel comes, you just splash in. I'm here to tell somebody today, it's about time to splash. You're closer than you think. Come on. You're closer than you think. See, if this guy really did want it, he would have done whatever it took to get to the place so that when the angel begins to move, all he has to do is splash. All he has to do is jump. And God says, "I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask." But if you're not asking, if you're not wanting, then you won't get it. I'll just be honest with you. I'm a pastor. I know these things. But I had God correct me the other day. I quoted all the time, "God, you could do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could think or ask." He said, "Well, why aren't you asking? Why aren't you dreaming? Why aren't you taking my word and making it your meditation and making it your imagination? When's the last time you took Deuteronomy chapter 28 and just made those first 13 verses your imagination? Why don't you get outside your tent and start counting like the Abraham of old? We know how to quote it, but are we asking for it? Are we doing? It might be tough. It might be difficult, but day in and day out, if I got to crawl my way there, if I got to claw my way there, if I got to roll my, if I got to inch my way there, I'm going to get there because I'm so hungry for God to do something in my life. Wow. What takes place, and I'm almost done, but I need to say this. What takes place next is absolutely so awesome. Because, and this is what catches my attention about this story, and this is the reason why I want to preach it. It's the reason why I preached it to our church. Here comes Jesus to the pool, and it's not the right time. It's not the right season. The angel's not there. The water's not stirring. And Jesus looks at this defeated man in this wrong season with no water stirring, no angel, and no dip necessary in the pool needed. And Jesus looks at him and says to him, get up, pick up your bed, and walk. Get up, pick up your bed, and walk. Jesus doesn't pray for him. Jesus doesn't lay hands on him. Now catch it. This is where it gets tough. Jesus just challenges him. Jesus doesn't pray for him. Jesus doesn't lay hands on him. Jesus just challenges him. This guy could have looked at Jesus like many of us do day in and day out and say, you are crazy. In fact, if you read the text, this guy didn't even know it was Jesus. He just thought it was another man. He didn't know it was Jesus. Read the Bible. Read the story. This man could have looked at Jesus and said, you're crazy. Can't you see how hurt I am? Don't you know what happened to me? Don't you care what I've been through? Jesus, you're being a little rude here. Where's your compassion? And for so many of us, this sounds like rudeness. But hear me today, you can't get well being offended at rude. I just said a lot right there. You can't get well being offended at rude. I said a whole lot right there. I said you can't get well, you can't get whole, you can't get more being offended at rude. Have you ever read the Bible? Have you ever read this from cover to cover? It sounds kind of rude. The Bible will challenge you. It'll challenge your issue. That's the reason why most of us aren't doing it. Well, I need finances, and he wants me to give. That's kind of rude, Lord. Right? I need healing, and he wants me to forgive. I don't need to forgive. I just need to get healed. No. That's kind of rude. Lord, you don't know what they did to me, and you expect me just to release the offense. That's kind of rude, Lord. But you can't get healed. You can't get whole being offended at rude. I'm here to tell you the Bible will challenge you. But if you'll do it and obey it, oh my goodness. If you will do it and obey it, you'll tap into God's power, God's ability to get you up. You know what happened? This guy didn't look at Jesus and say, you're rude. He perceived that Jesus had the power to get him up. And the Bible says he got up. And he started walking 38 years of having an issue. And he got up. Come on, what's your issue today? He got up and he started walking. When this man acted on the challenge of God, the word of God, that word had the power to get him up. Don't let the devil lie to you another moment. I'm here to tell you what God has decreed and declared to you has the power to get you up. What's cool about this is it wasn't the right season and it wasn't the right time. But when God shows up at your porch, it changes everything. Come on, it changes everything. I just come to tell somebody, Jesus has showed up at your porch. He showed up at your issue. He knows what you've been going through. He cares. He has compassion, but he doesn't want to decorate your porch. He wants to set you free from your porch today. Come on, stand up all over this place. Somebody shout yes. And I'm just here to tell you, that's the reason why I wanted to title this, The Wait is Over. Some of you have been waiting for the angel. Some of you have been waiting for the superstitious stuff that we do in church all the time. No, 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 Jesus is here. The wait is over. He could do it right here in the summertime of 2018. He could do it right here in Salinas. He could do it right here in your life. You're not too far gone. God's not mad at you. God loves you. He's at your porch. He's at your porch. The wait is over. You've been in that condition a long time. The devil's been telling you that it's too late. The devil's been lying to you. It's not the right season. The enemy's been telling you you've missed your opportunity. You've missed your chance. The water's not stirring. But I'm here to tell somebody today, no angel needed, no stirring needed, no dip needed, because Jesus has stepped into our porch today. And I hear Jesus saying out loud as he's chasing you to that apartment, you don't have to live here anymore. He just needs you to work with him. He just needs you to cooperate. He just needs you to believe that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, that he relocated you to a brand new place of living. You don't have to live here anymore. There's more. God wants to bless you. God wants to increase you. Come on, God wants to bless your home. God wants to bless your marriage. God wants to bless your children. God has more. Celebration, let's stir ourselves up. Let's start dreaming again. Let's start believing again. Let's start expecting again, because this is our summer of more. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm not convinced you got this. That's like a golf clap. That's not going to get you off your porch. Come on, I didn't drive all the way down here, spend my day with people who are comfortable. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise like he's the greatest thing that ever happened in your life. Somebody shout more. Somebody shout more. I got to have more. I got to have more. I don't know. I'm just a little radical this morning. I'm just feeling it today. I'm angry at just enough. I'm angry at survival. I'm angry at just good. God has not called us to just survive. He's called us to succeed. Come on, we need to... come on. Come on, get angry at it. Come on, get angry at it. I ain't gonna have this kind of life. I'm not gonna live the rest of my life like this. I'm not gonna be lonely anymore. I'm not gonna be depressed anymore. I'm not gonna be sad anymore. Come on, God's done too much. I'm coming off my porch. I'm coming off my porch. He's paid too much for me to stay this way. Oh, lift your hands to heaven and let him touch your life today. God, do more in Salinas. God, do more in Celebration. God, I've come here today to declare that there is more. God, stir in this church today. Let faith arise in this place today. God, let us dream bigger than we've ever dreamed. Let us expect more than we've ever expected, God. God, we believe you for more. We trust you for more. God, do it in our midst. Do it in our homes.
God, I pray for the releasing of anointing right now. God, upon every demonic stronghold that has chained up and bound people today, that has depressed people, that has oppressed people, that has lied to people, that has deceived people. God, I thank you the chains are snapping today. God, the strongholds are being broken today. That there is a freedom coming to this house. The freedom of Almighty God. An anointing that sweeps over this room right now to set the captive free. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be delivered. Be restored. Be made whole in Jesus. Come on, lift your hands. Be made whole. No more surviving. Come on, we're going to succeed. No more surviving. No more going through the motions. We're not just going to show up here on Sunday and expect the usual. No, we're believing for more. God, make them whole today. Deliver them. Set them free. Restore. Heal. Deliver. In Jesus' name we pray. God, our heart is open to you today. And we say yes to every challenge that you have for us. Because God, you're not trying to hurt us. You're trying to heal us. We thank you for it. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Celebration. The wait is over. The wait is over. You get in your cars and you drive off this parking lot. You declare to yourself, I don't live here anymore. I don't live in depression. I don't live in lack. I don't live in poverty. I don't live in discouragement. I don't live in sickness. I don't live in disease. And you watch how your God starts working the miracles in your life. Because the wait is over. Shout it out. Shout, the wait is over. Shout it like you mean. Shout, the wait is over. Shout, the wait is over. In my life, the wait is over. Say this, say, I don't live here anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm out of time. I'm out of time. I'm out of time, but I'm telling you, the wait is over and you don't live here. Come on. Depression is not your last name. Sickness is not your last. You don't live here. Man, come on. You got to hear. You don't live here. Come on. Better days are ahead. Come on. And it starts right now. The wait is over. Jesus is here to take you off of your porch. Hallelujah. Shout yes.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.